Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voices up in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, Mike, for your prayer. And thank you, Doug, for giving us that scripture reading there from Acts, the 17th chapter. And if you would, go ahead and keep your Bibles opened up there to Acts chapter 17, for we'll be spending the majority of our study this evening there in Acts chapter 17. As we talk about our lesson this evening titled, The Creator, Sustainer, and Judge of All. You see, in that reading of Acts chapter 17 that Doug just gave for us, we learn about the inspired Apostle Paul teaching those in Athens about the one true living God. And although those Athenians, as Paul acknowledged, were religious people, although they were religious, as Paul acknowledged, and were those who attempted to worship some type of God, Paul informed them of the fact that there is a one true living God. And to be simply put, a quick summary of Paul's teaching to those Athenians as we read through Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 31, can simply be summed up in this. Paul taught them about the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Judge of all. And Paul, he told them about the one true living God. So with that thought in mind, let's take a few moments this afternoon to examine the teaching of the Apostle Paul found here in Acts chapter 17. And let's discuss the fact that God is the Creator, Sustainer, and Judge of all. Paul began his teaching to these Athenians after he recognized the fact that they were religious, as we see there in verse 22 when it says, Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Verse 23, he says, For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. To be simply put, these Athenians were engaged in idol worship. And Paul recognized the fact that they were religious and that they were attempting to offer a worship to this idol, to this altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, Paul, he's like, well, you know, listen up. Let me tell you about the one true living God. And it is in that Paul goes on there in verse 24 to say, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. To be simply put, what Paul was telling these Athenians here is the fact that God is the creator of the world. And it's important to note that word creator there, it is simply defined as one that brings something into existence. And what Paul was telling them was that it was God, the one true living God, not this altar that you're worshiping, but rather the one true living God who brought the world into existence. It is He that is the creator of the world and everything in it. It's interesting to point out that word world found here in verse number 24 simply comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the entire universe. And Paul was telling these Athenians that it is the one true living God who is the creator of the universe and everything in it. We go on to see the fact that Paul informed them in verse 25 of the fact that it is God, the one true living God, who gives to all life, breath, and all things. To be simply put, it is God who is the source of all the creatures of life. You ever think about that before? You see, we need to be mindful of the fact that it is God who made the world and everything in it. And that the universe It didn't come into existence by mere chance, but rather by the intelligent design and work of God, our Almighty Creator. That's important. And we need to recognize the fact that God, He is the source of all life. It is He who gives to all life, breath, and all things. Paul even goes on to inform them in verse 29 of Acts chapter 17 that the fact that we, that is mankind, are the offspring of God. And he says there in verse 28, "For in Him, that being God, we live and move and have our being." And he even quotes some of their own poets. He says, "As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." You see, Paul, by quoting these poets of these Greeks, he certainly was wise in doing that, right? Because they wasn't going to go against what their own poets said, was they? And then that's when he goes on to say there in verse 29, "Therefore, since we, that is mankind, are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." To be simply put, Paul was letting them know that we are the offspring of God. That is, we are made in the image of God. We learn about that going all the way back to the creation account, don't we? There in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. The fact that God has made male and female in His image. We are created in the image of God. And again, it was important that Paul brings this out to the fact that these Athenians, they were offering worship to this altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Now think about that. Because with Paul bringing this out, it would be very inconsistent for them to think that living, intelligent human beings could be the offspring of a God that is represented by objects made by stone or earth or metal or any other thing. That'd be pretty inconsistent, pretty ignorant of them, wouldn't it? And even their own poets, Paul brought out the fact that we are also His offspring. Now we all recognize that there's no way anything can be the offspring of an object that it is created with man's hands. It's not possible, is it? It's not possible. And Paul was informing them of that in regard of telling them about the one true living God who is the Creator of the universe and all that is in it. And it is because of the fact that God is the Creator of all. It is because of that we should seek Him and worship nothing else but only Him. You see, we learn about that there too in regard to God who made the world and everything in it in verse 24. The fact that He's not worshipped with man's hands, although as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And verse 26, it says, "And He, that being God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Now watch verse 27 and what he says. He said, "So that they should" what? "Seek the Lord." Why? "In hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." I want us to stop and think about those words of the apostle for a moment that he informed those Athenians while he was preaching his sermon on Mars Hill. I want you to stop and think about the fact that we too are in need of seeking the one true living God. We too are in need of being one who seeks to find Him. And we need to be mindful of the fact that He is not far from any of us. You ever think about that? You see, I want you to know, my beloved brethren, that God is as close to you as you want Him to be. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? God, our Almighty Creator, our Father in heaven, is as close to you as you want Him to be. We need to be mindful of that. We need to understand the fact that it is good for us to draw near to God, just as the psalmist of old acknowledged. We need to understand, as James pointed out in James chapter 4 and verse 8, that if we draw near to Him, He will what? Draw near to us. God is as close to you as you want Him to be. And knowing that, we need to be a people who seeks to be close to God, the one true living God. And we need to offer our worship to the one true living God and to only Him. Jesus, while He was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, even said that to Satan, if you remember, there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus made it very clear, speaking to Satan, when He says, away from me, Satan. You shall what? You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. Remember that. And that was the lesson that Paul was not only teaching these Athenians who were worshiping this altar made with man's hands, this idol. But it's also a lesson for us today. A lesson that we need to worship and serve only the one true living God who is the Creator of all. But not only did Paul inform to these Athenians the fact that it is God who is the Creator of all, but he also informed to them that it is God who is the sustainer of all. It's important to bring out the fact that the word sustainer is defined as one who upholds or maintains something. So simply put, what Paul was telling these Athenians was the fact that it is God who not only has made the world and everything in it, but it is He who upholds and maintains the universe. Think about that. You see, we go on to learn this in the fact, again, as we pointed out there in verse 25, that it is He who gives what? All life, breath, and all things. God is the one who sustains life. No one else but the Almighty God. It is He. And we need to keep in mind that because of the fact God is not only the Creator, but also the sustainer of the universe, that He needs nothing. But we are certainly in need of Him. Again, Paul informed in verse 25 the fact that God, He's not in need of anything. He's not in need of anything. You see, to be simply put, God, He is not dependent upon us for His welfare. God's eternal. He's not dependent on us for His welfare. But you want to know something? You and I are dependent upon Him. We are. We're always dependent upon Him for our welfare. You see, God, He needs nothing. Why? Because it is He who is the giver of all things, not the one in need. James tells us that, doesn't he, in James chapter 1 and verse 17? God, He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. God is the giver of all things, not the one in need of anything. And it is because of that we need to keep in mind that it is in Him, that is God, that we live, move, and have our being. As Paul pointed out there in verse 28 of Acts chapter 17. You see, He, that is God, our Almighty Creator and Sustainer, is He who supports and upholds and maintains our every being. It's Him. Paul says, in Him we live and move and have our being. And to be simply put, without God, we would not and could not even exist. You see, our very existence depends upon God. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to recognize the fact that it is God who is the creator, the sustainer, and the judge of all. As Paul also informed the Athenians here in Acts chapter 17. When he talks about there in verse 30, when he says, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why is that, Paul? We'll read the next verse, verse 31. Verse 31, he tells us exactly why God commands all men everywhere to repent. When he informs that he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world, how? In righteousness. By who? The man whom he has ordained. Who is that man? Well, watch. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Who is that? His Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's important that we understand, just as Paul informed these Athenians when he was teaching them about the one true living God, not only the fact that we recognize that it is God who is the creator and sustainer, but also that he is the judge of all. And the fact that he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. We learn about that again there in verse 31. And although we don't know the date of this appointed day, we don't know when that appointed day is going to be here. We don't know when that will be. We do know when we need to recognize that there is a great day coming. There is a great day coming when God will judge the world. And he informed us there in verse 31 of the fact that he will judge the world in righteousness by his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Paul informed this not only to these Athenians, the fact that God will someday judge the world by his Son, Jesus Christ, but he also informed it there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. And there, writing to the saints in Rome, he simply said that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. That's important. You see, we need to be mindful, brethren, of the fact that there is a great day coming when God is going to judge the world by his Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be mindful of the fact, as Paul brings out here in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16, that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. You see, there are many men today, even, as there has always been throughout time, who seek to hold secrets. They seek to keep things quiet. They seek to keep secrets. And oftentimes, these secrets are kept from men, and men never find out these secrets. But you want to know something? You can't keep any secrets from God. God knows. And we need to be mindful of the fact that someday we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for the things that we have done, whether good or bad. Those things that we think that we've kept from men and our secrets to men, failure to repent of them is not going to be failure to be forgotten by God in the judgment day. He'll know. And you'll stand account for that. And we need to be mindful, as Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. As he informed Timothy there, when he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will what? Judge the living and the dead. When? At his appearing and his kingdom. Once more, there is a great day coming. when God will judge the world by His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to keep in mind, as Jesus Himself informed there in John chapter 12 and verse 48, that judgment will be according to the word of the Lord. Notice these words of Jesus there in John chapter 12 and verse 48. There He said, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him." What is that, Jesus? Well, notice, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." You see, someday God is, as we've discussed here this afternoon, will judge all men everywhere by His Son. And if men reject the words spoken of by Jesus, those wonderful words of life spoken of by Jesus, if men reject those wonderful words of life, those who reject them will someday be forever condemned. That's serious, isn't it? It's very serious. And it is because of that we must never forget that we shall all someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done. Again, Paul emphasizes this not only once but twice. We see, first of all, there in Romans chapter 14 in the latter part of verse 10, where Paul said, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to Me and every tongue shall confess to God." Now watch verse 12. "So then each of us shall give account to himself, of himself to God." Again, Paul made it clear. There's a great day coming when we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He made it clear that there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. And he also made it clear not only to the church in Rome, but also to the church in Corinth. As we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, when Paul informed them, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Why, Paul? "That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We need to be mindful of that, brethren. We must never forget that. And we must be a people who strive to live in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to our Creator, Sustainer, and Judge of all. Once more, God is the Creator, the Sustainer, and Judge of all. Therefore, may we all recognize the beauty of God's creation. May we be ever mindful of our dependence upon God. And may we never forget that we are all accountable to God. So now I ask, are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready for that great day? Are you? If not, you need to be. You need to be one who believes with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. You need to do, as we talked about this evening, as we learned in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. You need to do that. You need to confess Jesus Christ before men. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you need to continue to live faithfully unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this evening who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent, confess your sins to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, remembering that there is a great day coming, and we need to be prepared for that great day. So if there would be one here this evening who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.